Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thompson digging in defensively, 8 seconds. Brunson stops on a dime, launches. Oh, yeah! Jalen Brunson buries it. Knicks lead by 3. The Brunson burner ignited.
Ian Eagle's so good. NBA's got some really good play-by-play guys this time of year that you're kind of exposed to for the first time, and you realize, oh, he does basketball, too. That was the NBA's clutch player of the year, Jalen Brunson, hitting the biggest shot of the game last night, the biggest shot of the series. The Knicks move on. The Pistons go home. But Wizards fans, remember this about the Detroit Pistons. Before this year, they won 17 games in the 22-23 season. They won 14 games in the 23-24 season. 14. Wizards actually won 4 more games this year than the Pistons won last year. It takes time, but the Pistons are an example, as are, to a certain degree, the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder, about what the Wizards could be in store for in a year or two. All of them went through some variation of what Washington is attempting to do right now, which is strip it down and try to build it up. We'll see. Good morning, everybody. The NBA playoffs right now, just 1 game 7 out of the 8 first-round series, although there is a game 6 tonight in San Francisco where Golden State will try to put Houston's hopes to bed. That will be a tough game. Steph Curry's got an injured thumb heading into that game. The NHL playoffs, the same thing. Out of the 8 first-round series, you've got 1 game 7, but you do have a game 6 tonight. The game 7 that you have scheduled will be in Dallas on Saturday night, tomorrow night. That series got evened up last night by Colorado. And the overall best team in hockey, the President's Trophy winning Winnipeg Jets, have a 3-2 series lead. They are in St. Louis tonight. The Blues will be trying to force a game 7 in that series. Look, the sports in the two leagues, the NHL and the NBA, they would love it if they had nothing but game 6s and game 7s all weekend long into Monday night. That would be phenomenal for them because there really is nothing that matches a game 7 in the NBA playoffs or in the NHL playoffs in those respective sports. When you are in best of 7, best of 5 kind of sports, early portions of those series are not as dramatic. They just aren't. You know, if you can enjoy the games and enjoy the intensity, which I do, they're great, but they don't have that do-or-die aspect that a one-and-done postseason has, the NFL, as an example. But the playoffs have been good in both sports so far. They are in full swing. When you look at it, you know, they start here towards the end of April, and they don't end until early to mid-June. It is long and drawn out, but every night brings something interesting. And last night, Jalen Brunson with a dagger three in a game in which they blew a 10-point lead, and then Detroit blew a 7-point lead, but Brunson got it done. He had 40 last night in the Knicks' win. The late night game, the Clippers forced the game 7 in what has really been the best series in the first round in the NBA playoffs. James Harden had himself a game last night. He came out ready. You know, James Harden has not been a very good playoff performer, especially in the latter stages of a series during his career. But last night he came out ready. He went for 28. Kawhi Leonard went for 27 and 10. 10 rebounds, and the Clippers beat the Nuggets 111-105. That should be one hell of a Game 7 tomorrow night. Like in Game 5, and I'm actually surprised at this. I don't really understand it. Game 5, the Clippers were favored on the road against the Nuggets, and they lost big. They are right now a pick'em tomorrow night in Game 7 in Denver. I think Denver should be the favored team at home. I actually think in the 6 games, the Nuggets have been more of a team and more of a difficult sort of team to beat in terms of the way they play. The Clippers are a little bit easy to guard at times. It's a lot of ISO ball like the Lakers run. I would favor the Nuggets tomorrow night if I were an odds maker. Of course, they can gauge where the action is and try to even up both sides, but I would think that the evening up of both sides would be Denver at least as a 2.5 point favorite. The game is a pick'em right now, but that should be a great basketball game tomorrow night and a fun one to watch if you like Game 7s. I've got a couple of things to get to. Let me just mention, we have two guests on the show today. Ben Standing will join us a little bit earlier than usual at 11 a.m. because Phil Mendelson, the city council chairman, will be our guest at 12 noon. So we'll talk some stadium with Phil Mendelson and find out where the city council is right now. But this from Devin to open up the show. Devin writes, Kevin, you've got to be kidding me that you don't think the NFL blackballed Shedeur Sanders. Second round talent at worst. So, Devin, I agree with one thing you wrote, and I totally disagree with the other. I agree that he was a second round talent at worst. I completely disagree with you that the NFL colluded or blackballed Shedeur Sanders. This is so simple, guys. It's not hard. We've talked about the examples over the years. All right, you know, if you are, you know, a questionable sort of interview, if there are some red flags around your, you know, draft overall profile, if you are talented, you're going to get picked. They're not passing over on Cam Newton or Caleb Williams. Hell, Johnny Manziel slipped, but he only slipped to 20 in the first round. I mean, it was a major fall considering where he had been projected, but he fell to 20 because they viewed him as a talent, or many teams did. This isn't hard with Shedeur Sanders. Two things happened to Shedeur Sanders. Number one, the league didn't view him as a first-round talent. Devin, they just didn't. All right, and even you said he was a second-round talent at worst. And that's where part two comes in. As a second-round talent, or worse than second-round, but let's just say second-round, they viewed him as, at best, a low-end starter, more likely a guy who would be a backup quarterback in the NFL. Throw all the numbers and all the stats and all the hype and all the discussion from mock drafters over the course of the last year. The league did not see him the same way media analysts and mock drafters did, period. If they did, he would have been picked in the first round. And so once they determined, based on their evaluation, that he wasn't a starting NFL quarterback. He was more a backup or a very low-end starter, meaning a second-round grade. Then they had to consider the overall. What are we getting in the kid? Well, He didn't interview with many people. He didn't show up and work out in places that a lot of other players did. He treated this situation, as did the people around him, including his father, as if he was a de facto first overall pick in the draft, or certainly in competition for it. And he wasn't. He just wasn't. They completely misplayed their situation. I've read a lot here over the last few days that suggests that the fact that they didn't have an agent and they were very much in their own little bubble rather than having an NFL agent that could have said to them, look, you need to go to the combine. You need to interview with more than just a couple of teams. You can't pick where you're going to go. You're not Eli Manning. Eli Manning was a legitimate upper-tier first-round quarterback the way he was evaluated. You're not him. And I've read a lot in recent days about how people have come to the conclusion that not having an actual NFL agent that could have laid out the situation, the reality of the situation, rather than perhaps, you know, Shadur and his family, including his father and those around him, relying on media speculation about where he might go. An agent would have been able to say, you're viewed right now as a second rounder, so you've got to really interview well. You've got to show up and work out. You've got to basically interview for a first round opportunity. And that's not what Shadur Sanders did. And when he did it, according to all reports, the interviews did not go well. There was an arrogance and there was a presumption by him that the teams would be lucky to get him rather than he would be lucky to have an opportunity to play for them. And that did not sit well. And then you just factor in the three-ring circus that Colorado football has been the last 2 years, and that Deion and the Sanders and Travis Hunter and all of them have been over the last 2 years. By the way, I think good for the sport. I think it's been very good for college football, no doubt, the last 2 years. But if you are going to bring that into your building, then you have to believe that he's got a chance to be your starting quarterback for years to come. If you don't believe that, then you don't go for the player that's going to bring everything else in, and he's a backup quarterback. Backup quarterbacks have to immerse themselves into the culture of the team. They have to understand, you know, where they are and not elevate themselves beyond where they are. Certainly, they strive to become the starter competitively. But they just didn't want it. It was a juice worth the squeeze situation once they evaluated him as something other than a first-round talent. There was no blackballing of Shadur Sanders. There was no collusion. This league is about winning, okay? It doesn't matter. If your talent is there, we've seen it over and over again. There can be many questions about character, many questions about the characters around you. But if you're a legit first-round talent, you're going in the first round. They did not see him that way. This from Mark. Mark wrote off the conversation yesterday that we were having about sort of the state of the NFC. And I said that the NFC is actually better and deeper than the AFC. You know, the AFC, you really have three excellent teams in Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. In the NFC, you've got a lot more than that. You have your two NFC championship teams in the NFC East, Philadelphia and Washington. It's nice to say. You've got an NFC North top to bottom, maybe the best division in football, with Detroit certainly at the top, but Green Bay very good, Minnesota coming off a 14-win season, and Chicago actually, in many ways, in this offseason, kind of going all in, believing that year two and the first under Ben Johnson, year two of Caleb Williams, can be a winning season and a playoff season. Tampa just keeps winning enough games to make the postseason under Todd Bowles. And in the West, you've got the Rams, who I think right now have been sort of very underrated in terms of their roster from an odds perspective. But we talked about, one of the power rankings, I think it was Yahoo or USA Today, having the Rams as the third best team in the league. That's the first time I've seen that. And we've been talking about the Rams roster for a while, and we know how well coached they are. We know how good the quarterback is when he's healthy. They got a good team, the Rams do. And the 49ers are still thought to be, by odds makers anyway, fully healthy, a contender. The NFC is just deeper and better than the AFC. Of course, that can change. We could be saying something completely different when we get to mid-November or early November, and they've played 7 or 8 games already. But Mark writes, Kevin, so if the NFC is so much better, doesn't that lead to the possibility of a year two Jaden Daniels step back season? Well, I don't know if it leads to a Jaden Daniels step back season. What it could lead to, given the teams they're playing, the opponents that they have, and it's always about when you play an opponent, not the opponent themselves. But there's a possibility that the team could be a better team in year two, but have a worse record. They won 12 games last year, with many of them coming in the last few seconds. I hear this all the time, and not to, bust the mathematical or statistics and probability bubble that so many of the people out there seem to believe they have. When I hear, they won all these games by close games, that can't happen. Again, there will be what they refer to as a regression to the mean. I love that. All these are independent events. The fact that Washington had all of these close games doesn't mean it can't happen in the next season. In fact, the reason they won all of those close games last year was the same quarterback that's coming back this year in his second year, and hopefully a season in which they're even more comfortable. C.J. Stroud's sophomore slump season corresponded with that offensive line having major struggles in Houston. Washington upgraded their offensive line, at least on paper they did, with the addition of Laremy Tunsil and maybe the drafting of Josh Connerly Jr. I don't see, as long as he's perfectly healthy, I don't see like this light bulb that went on in the heads of defensive coordinators throughout the league that, gives them the answer to making Jaden Daniels look like something we didn't see last year. I don't see that. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying that everything I watched last year seems like it's repeatable and even potentially better in year two. We've talked about this. What are the real flaws? There's some footwork issues. We've heard that discussed. There's some decision-making, issues. But how about giving him a better offensive line, which they went out and did, and giving him maybe a better overall rush attack that doesn't involve him as the primary rusher? And let's see what this offense can be. I'm excited about the offense. I don't see a step back year for Jaden Daniels. I think it's very possible that there is a season next year that doesn't involve 12 regular season wins. But the number that we discussed yesterday, and it has come down in spots to 9.5 post-draft. BetMGM and others right now have Washington's over-under win total for 2025 at 9.5 games. It's their highest since 2000. It was at 10.5, but let's just go with 9.5 right now. We are now through much of the offseason. There are still possibilities. We talked about some of them yesterday. Za'Darius Smith, I am sort of a fan of at least checking in to see whether or not Nick Chubb is healthy and willing to come to Washington. Washington is much more of a destination than it's ever been for a player like Nick Chubb. J.K. Dobbins is out there. He's younger. You're talking about two players that are consistently hurt and get hurt, but when they are healthy, they are dynamic backs. I think Chubb more so than J.K. Dobbins, in my opinion. But there are other players out there. Justin Simmons is out there. You know, there are players that are still available. But at this point, much of the offseason is completed, and the roster that we're looking at right now in terms of, you know, as they're approaching a 90-player depth chart after the draft and after the signing of undrafted free agents, and the addition of a kicker. By the way, that could have been a very big, big acquisition, Matt Gay. If he can kick at the level that he's kicked at when he's kicked his best, at his best, given how many close games there were last year, he could become a massive factor in 2025. But at 9.5 right now, post-draft, as the over-under number for win total, where would you go? Higher or lower? Over or under? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. The number right now for Washington entering 2025, win total, is 9.5. Do you think they'll win 10 or more games, or do you think they'll win 9 or less? That's the over-under bet. Which way are you going and why? 301-230-0980. I'll give you my answer when we come back, and Max will also. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Washington's offseason is mostly done. There could be more to come. But what are your sort of post-draft, post-free agency, much of it, thoughts on next year's team? I've kind of laid out the situation in the NFC. There's some depth in the NFC and some really good teams, including the defending champions. Washington's over-under win total is 9.5. That's down from where it was pre-draft in a lot of spots. There were some spots that had it at 9.5. But would you go over 9.5 wins or under 9.5 wins? I'm sure we'll do this again as we get towards training camp or during training camp. But right now, I want to, learn from you in terms of what you think about 2025. I do think that there's some fear out there about a sophomore slump season for Jaden Daniels. You can vote, by the way, if you want to. I put up a Twitter poll, X poll, at Kevin Sheehan DC. It's simple, just over or under 9.5 wins. I'll give you my answer before we get to the phone lines, which we do have a line open at 301-230-0980 if you want to weigh in. I'm going over 9.5, but let me just make sure that I'm clear about one thing. I think 12 is going to be a tough feat to match from last year. I just look at, the schedule, and I'm not a big schedule guy typically, other than having fun with it over the next week at this time, probably my mock schedule. Next week, maybe early the following week. May 14th, I think, is the date that it comes out. So it's just that when you've got Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Tua and Jalen Hurts twice and Jared Goff in the Lions offense and Sean Payton, Bo Nix in the Broncos and whatever, Seattle's going to throw at you with Sam Darnold, and I would probably put that to a lesser extent. You probably have to include Dak in the two games against him. You have, at least on paper going in, if you get the teams on your schedule that play like they did last year, it's just going to be a little bit tougher, And the tough part of it will be that you're going to just face a slew of better quarterbacks. And your weakness last year was defense. Doesn't mean it will be in 2025. I don't see 12 wins right now, but I definitely see 10. So I would go over 9.5. I think if last year was one of those fluke seasons that NFL teams have, that Washington really never had, but where they win 11 games with, an average to, subpar quarterback, and they won a playoff game and then lost one, I think I'd probably look at under. But as long as number 5 is the quarterback, and I also have great confidence in the coaching staff after 1 year overall. Cliff Kingsbury in particular in that offense, I just don't see taking a major step back. I think Debo could be a massive weapon for this team. I think they've got better pass protection at the very least with Laremy Tunsil. I see over 9.5, and I see probably around 10 or 11 wins. 12 might be difficult. And, the Eagles, by the way, have a similar situation where it's not going to be much easier for them. It'll be more difficult for them. That's the race in the NFC East. I don't look at Dallas and think, they've got a better team on paper. I felt that way last year. I don't feel that way this year. I look at the Giants and I see an absolute, really good roster on defense, but you still have major quarterback questions. So I would go over 9.5, not under it, even though I don't see 12 wins necessarily next year. Max, where would you go?
I think Vegas has done a really, really good job at setting this line. Just looking at the schedule next year, it's going to be tough. Like the NFC North and the AFC West, two of the top divisions in football, it's going to be a dogfight. This team, the way it's constructed right now, I feel like they're going to try and win games like 50-45. But for that reason, I have a tough time going over, but I think it's going to be really, I think they're going to be somewhere around 9 wins. So for that, I'm going to go under. But the closer we get to the season, that could change. But right now, I'm just going with my gut. I think they're going to have somewhere. I think it's going to be 9-win season this year.
All right. So you're just slightly under.
Just a little bit.
Just so you know, Washington's over-under number at 9.5 is one game short of Detroit and San Francisco on average. This is kind of a consensus of all of the over-unders on multiple sites. I mean, San Francisco is still, odds makers have a really good feeling for this team.
Give me that
it's
under.
All about them staying healthy. You know, if they put their best players on the field consistently over a 17-game season, they'll be better than they were last year. Detroit's at 10.5, and then there are four teams at 11.5. The top three teams in the AFC, Baltimore, Buffalo, and Kansas City, and then Philadelphia. In the 9.5 win total, Washington, Tampa, the Rams, the Packers, the Bengals are at 9.5. The Broncos are at 9.5. Houston and the Chargers are as well. You know, one of the reasons, too, that Washington's 9.5 number, maybe, you know, based on last year, isn't slightly higher, is Washington has, as do the other NFC East teams, they have the NFC North, which you could argue going into the season is the best division in football top to bottom. Doesn't always work out that way. And they have the AFC West. So they are playing Detroit, Minnesota, Chicago, and Green Bay. And they are playing Kansas City, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos. So in addition to the division teams, that's what they have. And then you end up with three other games. In their case, they've got games against Seattle at home, Miami on the road, which could be Madrid, possibly. And then they also play Atlanta on the road. And that's based on where they finished in their division. All right, 301-230-0980. Over 9.5 wins, under 9.5 wins, and why? This is, you know, we're at that point in which the rosters are pretty much set. Not completely, still things that can happen, but for the most part, we now know what this team will look like on paper, roster-wise, heading into training camp, and their numbers at 9.5. You going over or under? Let's start with Scott. Scott, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm well, Scott.
Hello?
I'm well, Scott. How are you?
Good, thanks. I'm saying under for a lot of the reasons you just brought up. The schedule's going to be difficult with the NFC North, AFC West. And then they get to play some of the second-place teams in the division. Miami, I'm not too worried about. I'm also concerned about the improvements they made on the defense. I don't know if they've done enough, but we still have some time to see if they get some pass rusher in free agency. I think Jaden's going to be fine. He seems like the type of guy, he knows how to, he sees things. If something's not working, he can adjust. I think he's going to have a good year. I think the offense is still going to be good, but I just don't think the defense is going to improve enough to get them better than 8 or 9 wins. Yeah. I also think they have a target on their back now. You know, the year before last, they were a 4-win team, and we were seen as rebuilding, and all of a sudden we win 12 wins or 12 games. But if you cut me off, I just wanted to say I've been listening to you for a long time. I really like the history of radio and stuff, and you're a great broadcaster.
Thank you, Scott. Really appreciate it. You know, something that you said I think if you are just taking it at, I'm looking at this roster, I know what it was last year, I know some of the players they added, you just say, look, offensively, they should be really good. They got Jaden Daniels, and they upgraded on their offensive line. They added another playmaker in Deebo Samuel. At times last year, this was as good an offensive football team as any in the league. They certainly finished as a top five kind of overall offensive football team. They're going to score, and they're going to be tough to stop. But defensively, they weren't very good last year, even though they had some good players, and it doesn't appear to me like they did enough during the offseason. To me, that is an absolute reasonable position for us outside looking in to take. How they feel, I think they feel differently about what they've added defensively. I think they feel like some of the pieces they added are perfect fits for what they're trying to do, whether it's a Kinlaw or a Wise or even an Eddie Goldman or a Jonathan Jones, etc. I think they feel good about what they've done defensively. And I think, you know, there is an understanding, because this is a bright group, that, you know, one season of bad defense does not mean the next season, even if you don't add significant, you know, upgraded personnel, doesn't mean you're going to be bad again. But that's a reasonable position right now for all of us on the outside looking in. Should be a great offensive team. Jaden's a legitimate MVP candidate, right? He's the fifth pick right now, odds-wise, to win the MVP. You'll see, as we go through the summer and approach the regular season, you'll see a lot of people out there predicting Jaden to win the MVP. I mean, I'm not saying more so than Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, but there will be a lot of people saying Jaden Daniels is going to win the first MVP award of his career. When's the last time we had that? Never. RG3, there were certainly thoughts during his rookie season that we were watching a guy that would eventually win an MVP. Dead wrong. This guy's a different guy overall. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We are through much of the offseason. Washington's over-under win total is 9.5. Are you going over or under? Let's go to Lou in D.C. Lou, what's up?
Kevin, what's going on, man? Long time. How you been? Everything good?
Everything's good, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to say over. I'll go as far as going to 13 because I think the defense got better. That's number one. We last year, our number one corner was Benjamin St. Jude. So, trust me, Jonathan Jones is way better than him. And, you know, Will Harris, that's another addition to the DB back. I mean, defensive side of the ball. And as far as, you know, the D-line, I think we added a good piece of who could stop the run as well. So I think we got better. And, you know, as far as Jaden goes, you know, he got a bunch of weapons for him, the O-line and Debo and some of the rookie guys that we got. So I think we got better. I felt like we could go 13-4, if not 14-3. That's how I'm looking at it. All right. I just don't see
– Lou, you've always been super glass-half-full optimistic. When you said Jonathan Jones, to me it would be if they're much better at corner, it's because Trey Amos, their second-round pick, turned out to be ready to play like Sanders still was last year. But more importantly than that, that Marshawn Lattimore came back healthy, prepared, acclimated, and ready to play football at a high level. Because talent-wise, at corner, Marshawn Lattimore is still, you know, the best talent they have at corner on the roster. So we got to see Marshawn Lattimore be Marshawn Lattimore. Yeah. If you tell me right now Marshawn Lattimore has a year like some of the years he had in New Orleans, the defense got a lot better. No doubt.
Exactly. One more addition, if they could add either Von Miller or Darius Smith, and I think that will put us to the hump, you know, to try to get to 14 or 15 wins. So, look, man, I think we got better. People, you know, say they're nervous, you know, the defense, this and that. I think we good, man. I think we could beat Philadelphia if we line up right now. So that's how I'm looking at it. I'm always optimistic.
Yes, you are.
Everything they're doing right now is the right thing. So, yeah, man, thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
All right, Lou. Von Miller, interesting. He's 36 years old, 37. He last year, because I looked this up the other day when I was looking up stuff on Za'Darius Smith, I think he finished top 10 PFF in pass rushing pressure and grade last year. He was very sort of a specialized pass rushing guy for Buffalo last year. Yeah, interesting, you know. When the Rams added him, it worked out well for them in 2021. I mean, Von Miller is just a pro too, man. He is a pro. You bring him into your locker room, you don't have any issues. You've got a mentor for some of the other guys. You know, you have Von Miller and Bobby Wagner in your locker room. That would be interesting Za'Darius Smith, interesting. Za'Darius Smith could be an all-down kind of, you know, edge for them if they went that way. Von Miller is going to be a pass rush specialist. I think that's the way I would view him if they brought him in. How old is Von Miller now?
36.
36 years old. Yeah. I was right. Going to be 37. Last year, all right, here it is. Last year, 11th best pass rushing grade on PFF. I said top 10, so it was 11th. Six sacks on 209 pass rushing snaps, 32 pressures, and 23 QB hits. He's a pass rusher, man. He has always been a high level and at times in his career an elite pass rusher. There's still something out there for them to add. And the difference between thinking about players like Za'Darius Smith and Von Miller and Nick Chubb and J.K. Dobbins, etc., is that they're not, you know, they're answering the phone. Where we went through, you know, years and years where, nah, I'm not going to D.C. I'm not going to go to that train wreck. And now they're looking at it as got a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. 301-230-0980. Joe, Billy, Robert, Rod, Dennis, stay on hold. We got a line open if you want to weigh in at 301-230-0980. This is, you know, putting our finger up to the wind and taking a test here. Where are we after much of the offseason is in the books? Over 9.5 wins, under 9.5 wins, and why? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.
All right, last night, the Nats, they avoid the sweep. They beat the Phillies 4-2. Brad Lord gets his first win of the season, and Kyle Finnegan closes out with the save. The Nats will take on the Reds tonight. Nats on Deck with Charlie and Dave starts at 5:40 on 106.7 The Fan. The New York Rangers have hired former Penguins bench boss Mike Sullivan. This is a homecoming for Mike, as he was drafted by the Rangers in round four of the 1987 NHL draft. NBA, the Knicks close out the Pistons last night, 116-113. Jalen Brunson caps off a 40-point game with the winning three in the final seconds. The Clippers force Game 7, 111-105 over the Denver Nuggets. James Harden played 47 of 48 minutes and put up 28-6-8. The only one game tonight between the Rockets and Warriors. Steph Curry is battling through a thumb injury. He is expected to play. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
At 11 a.m. today. And Phil Mendelson, the D.C. City Council chairman, will join us at 12 noon. We'll talk about the state of, you know, where they are. How much have they learned about this deal? The term sheet's out there for anybody to read. And then, you know, when will that vote take place? Where are they right now on the city council? The need is for 7 votes. You heard Joe Maloney on the show yesterday, the former vice president of group affairs for the team, consumer affairs for the team, public affairs for the team, who was the point person on the stadium stuff for a while. He thinks there will be at least 10 council members that will vote. He does not think it'll be particularly close. But how much does the current term sheet, the current deal, how much of that will look like the final deal? I'm sure there are plenty on the city council that would like to at least put their fingerprints on it and say, we got involved and we got a better deal. I think this thing is headed towards being voted yes on. I'd be shocked if it fell apart like the the deal to Potomac Yards did. Shocked if that happened. But we will talk to Phil Mendelson at noon. Right now, 9.5 is the number for Washington's wins in 2025. We are through much of the offseason. There are still possibilities. Za'Darius Smith or Von Miller or maybe a running back. Who knows? But what you see right now is, for the most part, what you will get. Are you going over 9.5 or under 9.5 wins? 301-230-0980. We talked about the poll that's out there. You can vote at Kevin Sheehan DC. At this point, over 9.5 is at 85.2% of the vote. 301-230-0980. Joe's been on hold for a while. Joe, are you going over or under 9.5?
Hey, Kevin. Oh, by the way, real quick, I'll see you Monday, May 19th at Shelley's Back Room. Looking
I'll
forward to that
there.
Event. Should be a good night for it.
Yeah, be fun.
So
always
I will
is.
Say over 9.5. I'm going to go with 10 or 11 wins. I mean, like you, I agree. The offense is going to be great with Jaden Lee and the charge. The defense, I'm still a little concerned about. Hopefully they get one or two more additions. But because it's amazing last year how we were able to pull off those wins with the defense averaging or allowing, was it 6 or 7 yards per carry for run? I mean, the fact we still got 12 wins out of that because we had a good offense is good. But can we do that again? Who knows? And I believe the wins will come if they come up in walk-off fashion again like we did last year. I mean, but 6 walk-off wins, 3 of them were against our division rivals. I mean, Kevin, how often in the past have we been victimized on the last play by our division rivals, having them pull off wins against us? So for once, it felt good to do that. But yeah, 10 or 11 wins, I'm going to go over. I mean, it's going to be tough with the games we got, especially the NFC North, and especially against Patrick Mahomes and Sean Payton in Denver and Justin Herbert for the Chargers. But let's go. Let's see what happens. I mean, it's going to be tough, but I'll say over.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, too, given how many primetime games they're going to get, one of the, you know, things that, and I'm forgetting who it is that puts together, it may be Warren Sharp, that puts together that net rest days study after the schedule comes out. Net rest days are essentially a result of how many days you have between games. And there's, you know, when you go through the whole season and you look at the schedule, now games get flexed and they get moved, so you don't know for sure. But teams with higher net rest days end up having an advantage over teams with lower or negative net rest days. Washington's going to play in some big-time primetime spots. They're going to play in some Thursday games. Sometimes that means an extended rest opportunity after a short rest opportunity. Sometimes it means coming off a bye. You know, you'll play on Thursday night, which is a huge net rest advantage, rather than playing on a Sunday and then playing on a Thursday. So a lot of those things we'll look at. But the schedule on paper, because of the teams they play, NFC North, AFC West, their own division, which includes Philadelphia twice, looks tougher, but that is a real dangerous game to play year in and year out. We've talked about it for years. You guys know it. I know it. You get to, you know, December, and it's like, man, the games we thought were losses, we won. The games we thought were easy wins, we lost, because the teams were different than the way they were viewed going in, and sometimes when you played that team mattered a lot. Let's go to Robert in Annapolis. Robert, over or under 9.5?
All right, Kevin. Well, I'm going to do this as a smell test. What'd you say? 85% are going over. So I'll go the other way and take the under on that.
Okay.
That
other
sense?
Than just being a contrarian, what are the reasons?
Well, they've been mentioned. I think the big thing is, first of all, they're going to face a lot of good quarterbacks. I don't really look at the teams they're facing. I typically really focus more on the quarterback.
Me too.
And like the others mentioned, the Achilles heel last year was the defense, and I don't think that's healed yet. So we'll see what happens. But also, you've often mentioned how the NFL draft is such a crapshoot. You know, of the 32 first-round picks in the 2022 draft, you want to take a stab at how many? Well, actually, one player was extended, Stingley. But of the other 31, do you know how many had their options picked up?
because the 2022 draft is options being picked up by just the other day. What was the number? I don't know.
They had to be picked up by yesterday.
Yes. What was the number?
18.
Yeah. That's actually
Tyler, Linderbaum over here in Baltimore, they didn't do it because it's a number thing with the center being bunched in with the offensive lineman. So it's better to not pick that option up. They're going to do a deal with him, or they could franchise him for less money. But just think of that. That's about a 60% hit rate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the average since they put the fifth-year option in, and I think I talked about this, you know, or last week or earlier this week, is just over 59% are either extended or the fifth-year options picked up on drafts going back to 2011 through the through 2021, which was the data they had until yesterday. Yeah. So it hit right about the same rate.
But I've always considered the NFL draft to be the false prophet of fan optimism for their team. You never know where these guys are going to go, you know?
No, 100%. And that's the first round. They hit right on rounds 2 through 7, much lower, which brings basically the overall average. That's judged on fifth-year option pickups, which are only applicable to first-rounders. But, the PFF study that they did a few years ago on snap counts by position a few years after the draft, like a good hit rate is somewhere around 37-38%. Well,
they also have too many rounds. How many rounds do you think they actually should have for the draft? Let those
Seven's
other guys.
Seven's fine.
I think 7 is still. Those 6 and 7 rounders, I think 5 rounds is what they should do. And let those other guys actually pick their team where they may have a better shot of actually lasting on.
You're old enough to remember when it was 12. I mean, it was 12 for a long time.
Yeah, but I'm old enough to remember when it was 18.
Yeah. Well, wasn't Unitas like an 18th round pick or something like that?
I can't. He was picked by the Steelers. Bart Starr was like an 18th or 5th. But keep in mind there were fewer teams, so those numbers don't necessarily correlate.
Exactly.
All right, I know you're up against it and you have other calls.
All right, thanks, Robert. Buddy. Dennis and Frederick. Dennis, go ahead. Over or under 9.5?
Hey, Kevin. It's under for me, and the reason is multiple, and they've all been mentioned, but the first one is they won, the last 5 games, 6 overall, on the last play of the game or the last possession of the game.
Yes.
And that's kind of like turnovers. They even out. They're not going to do that this year, and that would have been a 7-win team if they'd have lost those games. Now, I'm going to look at
They also lost a game to Pittsburgh that they could have easily won. They had Dallas dead to right if the extra point, is made. And they played
But that means that playing their schedule last year, they were lucky to get 12. I would say that at least. They have a great offense, but I'm with you, man. That running game needs to be improved for them to be like elite, like Philly.
Yeah.
And their defense. Lattimore was a terrible disappointment, and if their secondary isn't better, there is no way that they win 12 games or even 10 games next year. Now, I'm hopeful, and I hope they do get somebody who can rush the passer a little bit better. And they will be a better team. And do I think that there'll really be 10 wins? I'm hopeful. But they could possibly be a better team and only win 9 games this year. And they'd still be a better team.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. Appreciate it. The one thing that I would just say about those that are going to, profess to be stats and probability experts, which most of these people are not. The idea that, they had all of these walk-off close wins, and that means it won't happen next year, it's just not – there's no mathematical explanation for that. There's no regression to the mean in a conversation like this. All of these seasons, all of these games are independent events. And I would suggest that the reason Washington was really good in games that were close coming down the stretch – is the same reason they are likely to be very good coming down the stretch in games that are close in 2025. And that is they have a special quarterback. And the quarterback makes all the difference in those moments, as he did, as Mahomes does, as Josh Allen does. So I hear you, like, you know, the Hail Mary. Are you going to have another Hail Mary next year? No. There's probably not going to be a Hail Mary win. But are you going to hang in there with five turnovers and still have a chance to beat Philly because your quarterback is great? Maybe. Are you going to drive right down the field in overtime against Atlanta because your quarterback is incredible? Yeah, there's a pretty good chance that might happen next year once or twice. All right, those of you I didn't get to, I apologize. Maybe we'll come back to this later on in the show. Ben Standing will join us next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.